Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
I'm Leo.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow,
bow, bow. Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Walt Dick, but yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
First of all, starting off, I'm appalled. My name is Ace, and I'm on a case. I've been born and raised in the Fillmore, in which we call it the Phil, no more. The issue here that I'm come here to speak on, and I was coming to say, I'm not objective or for it, but we need to know what the hell he think are they doing. Now, it shows some confidence there, or it shows some cockiness, in which me, Ace, on the case, I'm very disappointed. So right now, it's a bad mark, but there's room for improvement. But you make it loud and clear in his ear that Ace is on the case. Now, the information that I have here, I can't get from your secretary. She said confidential. Block it out. But I'm appalled. Just taking my time coming down here, although I'm down here at City Hall. I call it Silly Hall. But the deal is right now, the issue is my name is Ace. Ooh. And I've been on this case. Some of those people out there didn't want me all in that place. But it's no mystery. Just check my history. Ooh, I've been working on that case because it got a lot of conspiracy. Ooh. Thank you very much.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, and you just heard that
Ace is on the case.
City Hall, or as I call it, City Hall, and he does kind of a look at the camera like, yee. Well, came up with that one myself.
That was his line. That was his big line.
It was.
So just know that right now, or not right now, but probably in just a few hours, someone will be at City Hall. Talking a bunch of insane crap.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be the way that it is.
There is somebody who lives in, where is it? Somebody lives in, I think, Kansas City who listens to our show. They used to live in Boston. Now they listen to the podcast. And I guess they have a channel that's one of these public access ones, but every Monday evening they air some of the things from City Hall, and he said it's become one of the highest rated like things in the city because everyone knows there's this one maniac that shows up for every single one of them. And he sent me the guy's name, and I've been obsessed with this dude. And he's like, he's a regular. Like, he just shows up and talks, and he's 1,000% serious about what he's upset about. But he thinks that basically people are out to get him and that he's going to take down the government.
Are we
going to
hear from this guy?
Sure. I mean, we can hear from him. If we got time, maybe later on today, I'll see if we can pull some
very
stuff.
Cool.
But I mean, it's like everyone who has ever been flipping channels and just happened to stumble across this, every once in a while you get a maniac because there's probably every third person that speaks at one of these things is a maniac.
Just wants to be heard by somebody.
Oh, yeah, exactly. They're library people. Yeah. They're people that they want everything taken care of for them.
Right, sure.
They say, like, all right, here's the government.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about any big issue. They just want little tiny things taken care of. You know, they don't ice the steps at the library.
Right. And it kind of all goes back to when we first started talking about that woman in Newton who wanted there to be a decibel meter on the leaf blowers in town. I mean, just things like that that are insane. But just imagine if that seemed like the most worthy cause at City Hall when you actually watch the type of people that show up and complain about stuff.
Because you guys have introduced this into all of our lives, I find myself looking for things like this now. Like, I forget where it was in Massachusetts, but there was a guy who stepped to a town board meeting and said, I don't want a dog over 15 pounds on my yard because the size of the crap that's left is too much. I mean, little dogs leave a little amount of poop. Big dogs, much more.
Brookline City Hall is got to be the worst place on the planet.
Without a doubt, Fred. Without a doubt, out of all the different cities surrounding Boston, that's got to be the worst.
You can't. I mean, if you played the audio, it wouldn't. It would just infuriate me because that's exactly how everyone, at least in Washington Square, was when I first moved here. Is that they and they're the kind of people that would report things. And it pissed me off because it's those 5 feet by 7 feet patches of grass that are in front of some brownstone, and they act like it's the Great Gatsby, that there's this gigantic estate that requires all this landscaping, and not even having a dog, just stepping on their little pathetic piece of grass.
Well, the best thing about all that is you said the guy had a microphone and a speaker, so he could yell at people.
There's a guy. This is true. There's a guy on Tappan Street in Washington Square. He's probably dead, but he there's no way he was very young. He had rigged up a bullhorn to some kind of CB system, and he would just scream at you. And then it was the scariest thing in the world because you'd be like, "Whoa, what's going on?" And he'd be like, Get off the grass. Get that dog off the grass.
That would be the best. Like, I would bring friends by just to trigger that thing. Like, you guys got to check this out.
Yeah, and then he calls the cops. I told you about the time that we had gotten the dog. My wife was so miserable here that we'd gotten, like, another dog. And we crated the dog. We were on the third floor of the brownstone. And we crated the dog and went to some restaurant like across the street, and when we came back, there was a group of like six people in front of the building, and we said, "What's going on?" Because it was our building, and they were like, "Someone's upstairs torturing a dog."
Oh, geez.
As if there was no other explanation. Like, there's a dog was whining, and there's literally nothing else could happen. There's no other possibility at all. Someone's obviously doing a ritualistic satanic thing on this dog. and we're like, "Oh yeah, hey, okay," and then went upstairs. But the dog doesn't like being in the crate. You see, there's other things that go on.
Did you know who it was who called it? Like, did you find out, or was it just like random neighbor? Like,
I didn't know anyone around there.
Okay,
I knew a couple guys that owned businesses because they hated everyone too.
Because it would be kind of funny just to mess with them. Like, whenever you walked your dog,
no, they called the police.
Okay, but you knew who it was.
No.
Oh, okay.
They were people. I didn't want to know anyone in that neighborhood, but they were people. They called the police, and the police never came.
Because it would be kind of funny just to mess with them. To make them think that they're actually right.
It's not funny because then they start calling the police and all kinds of crap happens.
I think it's funny the police didn't show up. They cut the call like, "All right."
Dude, what percentage of calls do you think the police in Brookline actually show up for? And how much of it is just, "All right, Mrs. Johnson. Once again,
this is the fifth time I've been here in the last 10 days.
You heard that thing with the leaf blowers. How many phone calls did the cops get in Newton? It was a ridiculous amount, and it weren't like 90% from the same person.
I have a friend who owns a landscaping company, and
that's gotta be great.
I guess his leaf blowers aren't the decibel. They like are not in the same kind of thing.
Yeah, if you don't know the story, so this woman, because she bitched and moaned, ended up having it so if you run a landscaping company and you have a leaf blower, you have to measure the sound, like the level of sound, the decibel level, and it has to be below a certain decibel. And so these landscapers are saying, "You have to understand, to lower it, that means the power of the leaf blower has to go way down, which means it's going to take us twice to three times as long to get your lawn done."
What was the guy telling me? He was telling me that, well, the cops came. They would come.
Do they have a decibel meter? It sounds weird.
No.
What do they do?
I don't know. They get there and they're like, "Okay, keep it down." I mean, what are they going to do? I mean, you got to go. And then you go and then you go and you're like, "Hey, yeah." And a lot of times the landscapers are gone because, I mean, Newton, where I live, doesn't, I don't even know where this lady lives. But certainly where I live, there's no massive pieces of land. You know, sure. Like no one lives on a big yard. No one has a big yard. So I guess 95 times out of 100, they'd be gone.
Yeah, well, that was the thing, is that, like, they even said that they interviewed some police officers during that story, and they're like, you know, we hate having to go out and talk to these people. And he's right. They're saying most of the time they've already finished their work by the time we show up.
Yeah, they just, you know, you drive by and the trucks aren't there, and then you're on your way.
Right. I mean, just what a nightmare. But that would be that would be the worst, like, most aggravating one to be a part of. If you were part of the Brookline City Council and you had to sit in there,
that would be the worst.
Because
half
bitching.
The people are crazy.
Well, that's true.
Like, legitimately crazy.
Sure.
And then you have people who have inherited property that's been in their families for, you know, 15 generations that pride themselves. They love nothing more than being from Washington Square in Brookline. Now, they've opened up restaurants and things. I told you my friend got... I used to be friends with the guy. He got hit in the face. He was building a second restaurant, and he was painting the side, and he got asked some questions by a certain person, and the guy hauled off and hit him in the face.
Because he didn't like his answer?
Because there was going to be a smoker in the back. And so the guy hit him in the face.
Because he was worried about the smoke wafting up into his apartment?
He thought he had a reason, but... He lives in a house directly behind the restaurant that had legitimately 15 people in it. Like, they'd be playing half court basketball, and they had enough for like two teams, or not two teams. They had enough to play 5-on-5 basketball. Just living in the house,
old anger city. That's essentially what Brookline is. Just old and angry.
Right. Well, now it's like hipster bars in Washington Square and stuff, but. Not fun. All right, Rich, what are we going to talk about? We got what happened last night. What are some things?
Well, the trade deadline came and went, and not a lot of action. However, Chris Sale, we got a little bit of a situation involving him and the DL.
Mm-hmm. The phone's ringing.
Here we go. But the ringer's not on, Fred.
He can't hear the ringer over his heart.
I know. Tick, 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 tick.
You would think that you would have the ability. I don't get it. God, I don't get it. Answer the phone. It was ringing again. Just answer the phone. That's all. That's all you got to do.
He did the best comparison yesterday. He's like the crocodile from Peter Pan that swallowed the clock. That's what it sounds like when his heart's beating because he's got the new little thing in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean... I mean, he would be fired from receptionist job.
Miss something?
You know what that means.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Mankind became stupider.
Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
The Sports Hub, we are Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, Jake Arrieta is a major pain in the ass for the Red Sox.
The 2-0. Ground ball up the middle, off the glove of Bogarts. That's going to bring in a run. Here comes Hoskins rounding. He is in to score. RBI single by Santana to make it 3-1 Philadelphia.
That is Nesson, and the Red Sox split their series with the Phillies as they drop one last night. 3-1 the final score, and thanks to Arrieta, the Sox couldn't get anything going at the plate. Allowing him to pitch 7 innings of 1-run ball. And despite getting knocked around pretty hard by Philly, Drew Pomerantz allowed 2 runs over 5 innings, despite putting 10 guys on base. But since we're on a Drew Pomerantz sliding scale, I guess that's a pretty good night. But in the end, it wasn't enough. Here's Alex Cora afterwards.
He battled today. He gave us 5, a few walks, not too many swings and misses. But overall, you know, he gave us 5. He gave us a chance to win. So it was better than the last one.
But that loss wasn't the worst news of the day. No, that came shortly after 4 p.m. when the team announced that Chris Sale was going to be put on the 10-day disabled list with a mild left shoulder inflammation. Sale will miss a scheduled start tomorrow when the Sox begin a 4-game series against the Yankees at Fenway Park. David Price immediately said, how'd that guy get so lucky? So Brian Johnson will pitch in Sale's place instead. But after listening to Chris Sale yesterday, maybe we shouldn't be too worried.
I'm not too worried about this. I know that... You know, we're the Boston Red Sox and all this other stuff, but I'm not too worried about. I'm very optimistic that this is going to be a very short stint on the DL. So, but you know, it being the DL, people get kind of antsy. So, but I'm not worried about it at all.
Now, because we have such an important series coming up, the Red Sox do rather this weekend. I doubt this isn't the case, but I do hope, however, this is just one of those weird Red Sox coded things for let's get him some rest. And it doesn't seem that way. Well, the timing says no.
Well, they're. He starts to suck at the end of the season, or certainly not live up to what he does in the first two-thirds of the season. And if this was the time they chose to rest him, it is very odd.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all he did was throw 9 pitches in the All-Star game, so I can't imagine that has anything to do with it. But if, yeah, I mean, they're resting him. I mean, he's ineffective.
But to do it before the Yankee series seems odd time.
But maybe there was he was feeling a little tinge or something like that. And so they went, let's not risk it. Let's do it now.
If you take the Red Sox at their word, and Dave Dombrowski basically said the same thing as Sale, the hope is they backdated it to his last start. So he'll miss just the one start against the Yankees and be back next week. And if that's the case, yeah, I mean, you there's no better time to rest him. You have a 6-game division lead, and he's only going to miss one start. It seems the timing is perfect to get this done. But the negative side of me seems to think, okay, they've spent the entire season protecting him, having him only go 6 innings and throw under 90 pitches. And, you know, it's happened since opening day. And to still have this pop up, even though they've spent the first 5 months ever since spring training coddling him, worries me a little
I'm
bit.
I'm telling you, it's that motion. The way it's all arm. The way he whips his arm around like that. I'm telling you that has to be have something to do with it. Because he's like all arm with that thing. Coming 3/4 and just whipping it from the side. He doesn't seem like he's someone who could last a season.
Look, but couldn't they have waited after the Yankees series to do this?
If you want to get him some rest, get him some rest. If he shows up saying, I'm feeling a little something in the shoulder, you don't risk that. The moment he walks in the door and says, all right, there's something a little off. If you have the opportunity to rest him, when are you going to get another shot at this? Again, do you have a significant advantage in the division? And if he's only going to miss one start, this is the time to do it, regardless of who's ahead of on the schedule, whether it be the Baltimore Orioles or the New York Yankees. You do it immediately.
Yeah, if he has any kind of even the slightest strange feeling.
Because if he is anything less than 100% when we get to October, you're screwed.
Which is, it's still, I mean, but as you said, Fred, I mean, if this is a case where he does say he is feeling a little something, it still makes you nervous. You don't want to hear
this. Of course
this,
it does.
Especially with this. If you got one star player on the DL, no one wanted to see this last night.
0-2. That ran in and got him on the hand. And in some pain now, and now down on all fours. Xander Bogaerts. Capra came out to find out if he swung the bat.
Oh, this does not look good.
Yeah, Xander gets nailed by a 99-mile-per-hour shot to the hand, and that is the same hand he injured last year.
Same spot on the same hand.
And what's kind of nutty is that if you look at his numbers before and after his hand was hurt last year, he was batting .308, and afterwards, just .232. So it absolutely affected his swing.
We talked about this. I don't know, Fred. I don't think you were here. It was while you were on vacation.
Oh,
we talked about this with Judge. And Judge, you know, hurts his wrist. I mean, that's key for a hitter. They say Judge is going to only be out 3 weeks. But the key is, even though it doesn't appear to be that bad, it's a chip fracture. That stuff can linger.
And well, Judge stayed in and finished that at bat.
Right, but I mean, still, a chip fracture in your wrist, you don't know how that's going to affect you for the rest of the year. You may be healthy enough to play, but your swing might be off. Maybe your power's a little off, even though he's such a big guy. Go back and see what happened to Bogaerts. Rich just read you the numbers. I mean, again, x-rays were negative on Bogaerts' hand last year, too. And you saw him struggle the last 3 months of the season. God, it's not the same deal.
Yeah, he got the same diagnosis. So it was a right-hand contusion. And as you said, those x-rays were negative, which is kind of scary because last year was the same story. Here's Xander afterwards talking about it.
As soon as I got hit, I was like, I can't believe what happens. You know, it's part of the game. If I don't fall off those first two pitches, I mean, I wouldn't get hit. But it's part of the game. And we'll see how I feel whenever the next game is.
And so also with the Kinsler trade, it doesn't look like Pedroia is going to be coming back anytime soon. Dave Dombrowski said he actually called Pedroia and informed him of the trade himself.
I can't say we don't expect him to return, but we're not anticipating that he's going to be. He may come back.
No,
Alex and I talked about, and Alex called Dustin just to let him know we were making the deal, so he was not caught by surprise. But I don't think that he needs that pressure to have to come back anyway.
He's not coming back.
He's not coming back.
That's all Dave just said. He's done.
He's not coming back. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, he's finished. Well, he's 34. He's done, certainly for this season. We'll see what happens next year.
Well, John, the trade deadline came and went. No move for the bullpen that you wanted. There's your team. Cross your fingers. What are you thinking?
I think they're in a lot of trouble. I mean, if you're telling me that you're tied one game apiece, it's game three at Yankee Stadium or in Houston, and you bring in Matt Barnes to face George Springer, Alex Bregman, Jose Altuve, and Carlos Correa, I'm telling you, he's probably coughing up the lead. I'm telling you, if you have him come in at Yankee Stadium in the eighth inning and he has to face Judge and Stanton back-to-back, I'm not all surefire certain that he's escaping with a clean inning.
Dombrowski doesn't care about bullpens. He didn't care about him in Detroit. He didn't do anything last year. He didn't do anything in the offseason. And he didn't do anything this year, which is just such an ancient way, an antiquated way of thinking. I'm not positive he's watched a playoff game in several years. I mean, Cleveland got to a World Series and almost won it on the back of their bullpen.
Yeah.
That's what it is now. That's how postseason baseball goes.
Kansas City, when they won the World Series, remember the bullpen they had? They had about four guys that could throw 100 miles an hour. And another thing about the bullpen...
I don't remember anything but Johnny Gomes that year.
Right. And another thing about Dombrowski... Dombrowski went out of his way to pump up Tyler Thornburg, who has been the missing man the last couple of years since they made the trade for him. And Thornburg has looked better. But it seems like Dombrowski's all in on Thornburg being his eighth inning guy. And great, if Thornburg turns into the eighth inning guy they thought they were going to get when they traded Travis Shaw for him, fantastic. But there are no guarantees of that. Well, this is a huge roll of the dice for him.
This is Dombrowski. I can tell you two facts about him. Is he doesn't care about the bullpen past his closer, and that he doesn't care about his farm system. So those are two things. He rolls into town, he trades, and gets superstar talent. Then so that just completely depletes his minor league system. Then he'll certainly spend a lot of money, but he doesn't care about his bullpen and he doesn't care about his farm system.
Well, one other thing, and I keep hearing this on social media, and this is what Dombrowski is telling me. You know, we're going to play starters in the bullpen. We're going to have Brian Johnson be the long man. Maybe Drew Pomeranz will be in there to get a lefty hitter out in the seventh or eighth inning. That's all fine and good. Hector Velasquez has been good this season, and you can throw all of those guys in there from innings 5, 6, and 7 if the starter doesn't go deep into games. But you look at the matchup. Maybe Tyler Thornburg is the guy. I'm not convinced of that yet. We got 2 months left of the season. Matt Barnes, I don't think, is the guy, regardless of how well he's pitched this season. You drop him into that kind of situation, I don't know if he's going to do the job. This is a team. This is a historically good team. And I'm sorry, I look forward to the end of the season here because the regular season is all about playing out the string. They're in the playoffs. They're probably going to win the division. I don't know if this team's good enough. Offensively, they are, but when you're playing close playoff games, the bullpen is huge, and he just completely overlooked it yesterday.
Well, in fairness, I mean, he made the deal for Pomeranz, and he could be a lefty specialist in the bullpen, so that's great.
Maybe they had a deal. Apparently, they had a deal for Kelvin Herrera, the Washington Nationals. That would have been the guy. I would have loved to have Herrera pitch the eighth inning. He's got World Series experience. That's fantastic.
Well, they probably didn't have enough to get him.
Yeah, when that fell through, you got to hunt around and look for another guy. Well, the bullpen is screaming for another guy in there.
That's what they needed to do, but instead they got a middle-aged second baseman, which didn't seem like something that needed to be done. All right, we'll have the headlines and what will we talk about, Rich.
We're going to talk about a team that hit as low as you can get last night. Bottom of the barrel defined. We will get to that.
All right, here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Be listening this morning at 6:50 and 8:50 for your chance to score a 4-pack of tickets to Canobie Lake Park.
Oh,
Chara,
yeah.
And Rich's favorite park.
Uh-huh.
Just ride the Rowdy Rooster, where Chara got kind of had to
take it all in. That's where the loss was washed away at the Stanley Cup final against the Blackhawks. Just went to the circle over and over again.
Well, again, a four-pack of tickets to Canobie Lake Park just over the border in Salem, New Hampshire. Canobie Lake Park just for fun.
Mm-hmm. And, man, the absolute debacle that is the New York Mets has been fascinating this season. But last night was so bad, it was historic. If you're looking for the bottom of the barrel, we may have found it.
Now the pitch swung on, and Reynolds hits it in the air to deep center. Sending Jackson back, way back to the warning track, to the wall. It is gone. Goodbye. Out of the green, the berm, batter's eye. Just to the left of dead center field. Second pinch-hit home run of the year for Mark Reynolds, and it's now Washington 24, New York 1.
Okay, well, and it got worse. Last night, the Mets gave us their worst loss in franchise history. The final score, 25-4. 25 runs notched by the Nationals. The Mets starter, Steven Matz, he got the start and lasted only two-thirds of an inning after he gave up 8 hits and 8 runs. And the relievers afterwards were just as bad. Diarrhea everywhere. But then in the eighth inning, the Mets brought out shortstop Jose Reyes in his Major League Baseball pitching debut. And you can just guess how that went. He gave up 6 runs, including 2 homers and a hit batter. Well, that sounds fun. Here is Reyes afterwards.
Here he is. 56 ERA now.
Here he is.
When you get in the mouth before you throw a pitch, it's fun, you know, but when you start to see people hit a home run and stuff, you know, you get more serious because even I'm not a pitcher, you know, I don't want to see that, you know, so I want to throw zero out there, you know, but like I said, I do the best that I can.
It's great. Somebody actually tweeted out a picture of the scoreboard there, and it just goes through the innings, and it goes Nationals. 7 runs, then 3 runs, then 3 runs, then 3 runs, then 3 runs, then none, then 5, then 1. 25 runs scored last night by the Nationals. Unbelievable, and that is the worst margin of any kind of loss that they've ever suffered in their history.
Yeah.
I think by like 3 runs.
I mean, and the Mets really had some bad teams when they first got. I think the first season the Mets ever played was 40-120 was the first year they ever existed. They never got beat.
Can
by
you sports. Imagine having to call that game? Just how, like, you just be like, oh, stop hitting.
Oh, you see, that would be fun. A game like that, if it's so bad.
No, it's really not.
No,
why?
Not fun at all.
I actually have some experience in this. I'm telling you, it's not fun. It's fun for a while because, hey, the score is ruined it. But after you get to, you know, a long period of time of it, it's like, okay.
Oh, come on. They had to bring the shortstop into pitch.
Well, that happens a lot.
Well, it's never happened with Jose Reyes, and he had to come in got rocked.
Yeah, but
and
I mean,
he hit a guy.
But the game was in hand. And then to get to Reyes pitching the eighth inning, there was a whole hour and a half or two of
just
boy,
garbage.
This is just bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you got to just be like, get this thing over with. Just stop hitting.
You see,
I can't find the time of.
I was looking for it too. I couldn't find it.
See, to me, it would be like the worst game to call would be one that went into a ton of extra innings and it was like a low scoring game. That would suck. But 25 runs. That's like such a disaster that you can't wait to see what happens next. It's like, you know, stretching your neck at a car accident.
Well, you stretch your neck at a car accident for about 5 minutes.
Okay, it was 16-0 after 4 innings, and then you had to wait until the eighth for Reyes to get there. I'm thinking there was a significant period of time where the guys are looking at each other, going, all right, what'd you have for dinner last night?
If you stay at a game where there's a position player pitching, you're out of your mind.
I did. I actually stayed. The Red Sox beat the Texas Rangers one day. They obliterated them, and Jose Canseco came in and pitched. For Texas.
Really?
Yes.
It happens all the time.
Yeah, I know, but Canseco, I just don't remember.
No, Canseco, that's famous because Red Sox fans will remember Canseco came in and blew out his elbow that day when he pitched.
Yeah. The best is when the guys come in and do well.
Yeah.
Yeah. It rarely happens.
Yeah.
But so congratulations to the Mets. I just like how, like, after that game, the first thing that Jose Reyes says is like, you know, when you first come in, it's kind of fun. I'm like, I mean, just what do you say in the locker room after a game like that? Like, how do you even like look at each other? Because it's historic now. Everyone knows that you were the worst of all time for that franchise. So congratulations to the Mets. Things looking up. So the Patriots yesterday brought in Eric Decker for a workout to take a look at him, according to NFL Network's Mike Garofolo, your opinion of having Eric Decker around?
Well, Decker is was not good last year, and he's old. But I have a feeling that since he's a white slot receiver, they look up for him.
And Josh McDaniels drafted him, remember, while he was Denver's head coach.
I didn't know Josh McDaniels drafted him. But Decker, I bet you Decker makes the team. I bet you that he's serviceable. I mean, they have a lot of wide receivers, but I
remember
bet you
what I told you. I mean, look, he has again, he has experience with McDaniels in Denver and all that. But when someone shows up late, it never works out. It never works out. Now, this is not late in that it's, you know, in the season. But
the thing is you're not looking for him to do much. I mean, you could sign him and just he could be in there for Edelman, and then you could make a decision after that.
I think this is one of those deals where they're keeping their emergency lists fresh. I think this is they don't necessarily need a wideout at the moment. This is how they see it now. We look at the injuries, and yet it appears that they do. I don't know if they're going to sign this guy. I think this is one
why
of
not.
Things.
You can sign him for a veteran's minimum.
Yeah,
and you bring him in, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. You're under no obligation to keep him for the entire season.
It's hip and shoulder, right? Isn't that what he's had the issues
why
with?
Why didn't they sign him yesterday when they brought him in? If you see you work him out, he sees healthy. Why let him leave the facility?
Because
they're
going to
sign
do?
Des Bryant.
Okay.
Why do you let him leave the facility as if like he's going to go run and sign with another team?
No,
the next day?
What I'm saying is if you need a wideout and he's healthy, why don't you just sign him on a spot?
Because McDaniels works him out, and then there's probably internal discussions after that, and they watch the film, and then they decide what they're going to do. They interview him. What do you mean they let him leave the facility? You let Eric Decker go and get a job at Bennigan's. I mean, what if you don't want? Don't leave. No. Don't like it's Kirk Cousins. Well, don't leave.
You're telling me it's a low risk deal. The Patriots know that. They know what Eric Decker
I
can
know,
do. They have plenty of film on him already. Why not just sign him there?
Because they wanted to have more internal discussions about it. I don't know. And maybe they won't sign him, but there's no evidence that they're not going to sign him just because they let him leave the facility.
I think it's an emergency deal. I don't think
they're
going to sign him.
Well, then you know what? Then you might not get him because there's going to be injuries. It's an emergency deal, but don't give me let him leave the facility, please. I'd let Eric Decker go do whatever he wants, follow his wife around, who seems to desperately want to be famous.
She's the one whose tweets got him in trouble, right?
Did they?
Yeah, she's one of those wives that you're right that like kind of likes to run her mouth on Twitter, and I think she said something about one of his teammates, if I'm not mistaken. I have to check this out.
Well, she's really, I mean, she's like supposed to be like hot for a living, and I think she might have been a quote unquote country artist at one point, but yeah.
I have to find this story. I could have sworn his wife got her in trouble.
I think, yeah, Dan's telling me, Dan's telling me it's Jesse James Decker.
That makes sense. Yep.
Yeah.
Sounds right.
That sounds like a real name.
Does she bring a chainsaw on stage?
Well, listen, she's played Sturgis.
It's Jesse James Debris of Jackal.
In my dad's, so Sturgis is this massive motorcycle rally. It's massive, massive, massive. So it's not like the Hell's Angels are the people that are going there. But in where my parents live, you know, it's half old people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a motorcycle club in that area. And they take them down. They go take the bikes out to Sturgis. Go see a little Jackal.
Hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Axel, a friend of ours goes to Sturgis, takes the cycle to Sturgis.
I got a friend who goes to Sturgis, too.
To hang out with, you're friends with this guy, too. To go hang out with Mr. Jesse James Debris.
Oh, why not? By the way, yeah, so apparently she started, Eric Decker's wife was ripping on the Jets fans who were booing him, I guess, during a certain game. It was going off on them. And on top of that, I guess last year she was ripping on the play calling of the Tennessee Titans.
Well, that really cost
of the Titans offense. And then she tweeted it and then deleted it. And then she, of course, bragged on Twitter about the size of his junk at one point. Yeah, she's just somebody you just kind of look at if you're just go, hey, all right, can you just lay off things? You're not making it not making it easy for me.
I don't think he necessarily feels things in that fashion. I think that she could pretty much do whatever she wants. Call number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line. 617-931-0985 will score a four-pack of tickets to Canobie Lake Park just over the border in Salem, New Hampshire. Canobie Lake Park, just for fun. Caller number 10, 617-931-0985.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
The Sports Hub with Toucher and Rich. We're having an Ultimate Townie contest. If you think you're the Ultimate Townie, tweet a video to 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Listen, or at Toucher and Rich. The copy seems different than what we've been saying.
Is this what Nick was working on?
I don't know. What do you mean?
I don't know. He was working on something back there.
No. That's a podcast. He's working on the podcast.
Oh. Okay.
No. This is the rules as printed out, or not the rules, but the way to submit. See, that's, I think, one of the things is that people are confused on how to get the video. Just tweet it to us at Toucher and Rich.
If you think you're the Ultimate Townie, tweet a video to at Toucher and Rich using the hashtag Ultimate Townie Contest. In 2 minutes or less, show why you're the Ultimate Townie. Entries must be received by 8 a.m. August 6th. One entry per person. Contest open to Massachusetts residents 21 years age or older. See official contest rules for details.
Mm-hmm.
So $1,000 on the line.
Did you see the video that was going around yesterday? And it was from Boston Barber and Tattoo. And I don't know who the guy was, but it kind of went viral. And the guy got on his shoulder an enormous tattoo of Tom Brady screaming. It's that famous photo of him just yelling, you know, with a helmet on. It went from elbow to the very top of the shoulder. And it was, I mean, it was actually a good looking tattoo as far as the artistry. It was fantastic. But
what do you do when, when you're with a woman? Like, how do you explain that?
Oh, when you have that tattoo?
Yeah, like in...
Oh, I think there's women that would be like, oh, yeah.
All right, 617-779-09. Now, I'm taking a chance having someone answer the phone.
Now, the reason I say that is when I tweeted out that photo of the guy who had the shamrock, and inside of the shamrock tattoo were all the different logos. Like, there are some women saying, I was going to make fun of that, but that's awesome.
Okay, yeah.
So you're looking for calls for women or men here?
Hang on. No, I'm looking for women, John.
Okay.
Everyone's aggravating me. But here's the deal, is that I would defy a woman to tell me that she would like that tattoo. So you're saying it's elbow to the top of your shoulder.
I'll see if I can pull it up. It's from the top of the shoulder down to the elbow, and it's black and white, and yeah, it's a picture of Tom Brady screaming.
Right, I can picture it. Yeah. And you're saying the artwork's good.
Which it's phenomenal.
Which is almost worse.
Because you want it to be like a prison tattoo?
No, just because, like... Any super realistic tattoo is weird. I told you my friend worked with a guy who had a big Groucho Marx tattoo, and it was like the best tattoo I'd ever seen in terms of its artwork. Yeah. It looked like a photo. And I'm saying, why? Like, you like Groucho Marx. And people go, oh, Fred, you have a Descendants tattoo. It's literally like six lines. It's not filled in. It doesn't look like it's not a face. I have three tattoos, my son's initials, my daughter's first name, and this little Descendants tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Getting a tattoo of someone's face, now, even if it's a family member, and God bless you, it's creepy.
So you're saying that if you are a female, and you're with a guy, and he takes his shirt off, and that tattoo's there, that would immediately turn women off?
Yes.
See, I think that there is a type of woman who would actually think that was really cool. And for
the rest of your life, you're looking at Tom Brady.
Well, that would be weird. But as for right now, it's really cool. Fred's looking at the phone screen. We have somebody right there. Put him on hold, Nick. Put him on hold.
No, didn't Rex
it
Ryan?
It takes so long.
What's that?
Rex Ryan's wife didn't seem to matter, right?
That was cartoonish. Well, like, you're talking about the Sanchez one?
Yeah. Well, Rex Ryan has a tattoo of his wife wearing a Sanchez jersey, right?
Oh, yeah, that's what it was.
That's my mistake. I'm sorry.
So
I forgot about that.
It's not a picture of, like, a guy.
I thought it was just a uniform with a six on it. That's my mistake.
Oh, I mean, come on, Fred. I mean, it's like there are women who would actually think that was super cool.
I honestly would tell you nobody. that is just awful.
Well, we need a panel of women. Five calls right. Says it all. 617-779-0985.
I know. All right. Anna, go ahead.
Hi.
Hey.
I just wanted to say I have 9 tattoos of my own, and I would hate that Tom Brady tattoo.
Yeah, it's too big, first of all. And second of all, it's like a guy's face every single time. That'd be awful.
By the way, okay, now that I'm looking at it, it's not all the way down to the elbow, but it's still massive. It's like, here, I'll show you.
Okay, regardless. Like,
there's the guy. I mean, it's still enormous.
Yeah, and it's on his shoulder.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's
yeah.
And it's a football player that he's going to have to describe for the rest of his life. Like, Lord knows.
But you're going to know who Tom Brady is. Like, I mean, it's not you have to explain who the guy is. And
I guess if you never go anywhere else.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, even if you lived in California, Or Montana, people are going to know who Tom Brady is.
If you tell me that in 10 years that people are just going to go, oh, Tom Brady, like a girl that you pick up is immediately going to go, oh, Tom.
No, yes, he's the greatest of all time. People are going to know who Tom Brady is.
There's women that have never watched it. There's everybody, but there's people that have never watched football.
They still know who Tom Brady is.
I understand they know who it is, but it's not a tattoo that says Tom Brady's number one. It's his face.
His face?
In a
screaming
helmet.
Anna, you would not find that mucho macho. You would not look at that and say, this guy likes the old ball game, so he's got to be 100% man.
No, not at all. I think it's his face. It's kind of fanboyish.
Okay, it's weird. You think it's a little fanboyish?
I would see the definition of being a fanboy.
Yeah, I would think it's I think that if Tom Brady saw that, he'd be like, okay, security. Maureen, hello.
Hey, Fred, how's it going, dude?
Good. How are you, my darling?
I'm wonderful. I think that tattoo is pretty awesome myself.
No, you don't. If you were out and there was two guys and they were basically say they were almost the same in appearance and you liked both their personalities, you're going with the guy with the massive Tom Brady tattoo?
Oh, you got it, of course.
So that would be not a deal breaker. That would be like that would seal the deal with you.
That would seal it. That would seal it.
Okay, what about that is acceptable?
It's just right now. It's a cool thing. You know what? But maybe in 15, 20 years, maybe not so much.
Would you find yourself focused on that during lovemaking? Would you?
Well, I don't know if I'd go there.
Right. Well, but in case, like, you could see, just like, please turn your right arm a little bit so I can take a look at this.
Well, yeah. I mean, right now, like I say, in 15 years, probably not.
Well, that's the thing about tattoos, is it?
Well, that's a good point. I mean, it would be kind of weird if somebody had, like, Bledsoe on his arm.
Well, that's the point.
I mean, this isn't Bledsoe. I mean, come on.
But you never know. During the early 90s. During the early 90s when Bledsoe was the guy. I mean, 94, 95?
That's just a big mistake. It's a big mistake.
Well, and the thing that's interesting about just from the little box that I can see from the video that they put up is that it kind of looks like a virgin arm. Like, this isn't a guy who's got like ink all over himself. It looks like that's the only thing that you can see around there. So it stands out. This is like his tattoo.
Right. It's like a rookie mistake.
At least it looks like Tom Brady. It's not like one of those. You've seen those regrettable tattoos.
But I would almost rather it not look like Tom Brady.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And then you could say it was a joke. Fred, your friends made you get it.
Fred, I'm just telling you, there is an element, there is a type of woman that would look at that and think it was the bee's knees and just be like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe there is, I'm going to say it's very small. But in 2018 in New England, maybe you're right.
And that's all. It's okay. Only what I'm talking about
right now.
So,
you know, it's like, you better not move.
That's a good point.
And also,
if you go anywhere else in America.
And also, like, time is of the essence.
Yeah.
All right. We will be right back. No commercials, just the headlines.